Last month on Our Town, we had a discussion with several of the entities involving the Quinn Street property and the development of that under Braun Industries there. We had the city manager in along with Kay King, and one of the members of FURA was here. Joining me now this month is Ron Moore. He's the president and CEO of Hoagland Properties. And Ron, good day to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, George. Thank you very much. And thank you for having me on the radio. This is the first for me. So
yeah, there you go. Well, I'm sure everything will be fine. One of the things, you add a different element into an insight into the properties, an insight to your involvement and your desire to see a property there of some sort versus no property there of some sort. And I know you mentioned in the city council meeting when you were giving your five-minute testimonial that you said you were not against having another hotel in Florence.
Absolutely, George. As a matter of fact, and maybe we ought to clear this up for your listeners, I'm not sure how many are familiar with the name Hoagland Properties. It's the company name for the operation that runs both the River House Inn and the Old Town Inn here in Florence, as well as a hotel in Salina, Utah. So my interest is as a hotelier and as owner-operators, our family owns and I operate all three of those properties. So, so we actually in 2019 approached the city about interest in the Quinn Street project, and in 2021, in the process where they decided to go with Braun Development, we expressed interest again. And in between with the SICAN development, I was a little bit discouraged with the lack of outreach to the local community. So I wrote an op-ed piece expressing my interest in 2020 when it went to SICAN. And so I have nothing against a hotel being built on that piece of land.
Now, obviously, when the coronavirus hit and things kind of shut down, there was maybe not the foresight to see what might be coming ahead. People were like pensive, holding back, not wanting to do. At that point, were you still wanting to maybe have that spot for development yourself?
Well, we didn't know it was going to be for sale, and we missed the announcement for the exclusive negotiating agreement in 2020 that SICAN took, and that's kind of our own fault. Maybe we should have paid more attention to the local news. The city, I think, did everything that it was required to do. I don't know that having expressed interest previously, I don't know that there was the extra outreach that could have happened, but we missed it. And so I was hoping that maybe that process would have been a little bit smoother. But yeah, we had interest. I don't know whether financially at that moment in time, whether we would have taken a step. And I'm glad SICAN had the wherewithal. I mean, you have to understand that in the hotel industry in general, projects were being delayed or shelved because of what was going on in the industry. We ourselves were in a situation that, with the help of PPP, we were going to make it. But room sales were down. We lost money in 2020. We had difficulty in fulfilling, jobs at our places, So I was spending probably a full-time job plus, in housekeeping and stuff like that, and then going and making sure that we had the financing and everything. And so it was a very busy time for us, and it wasn't something that we were looking for the city to sell necessarily at that point, given everything else that was going on in the industry.
Now, originally, when the whole plan or the whole idea came out for the development of this property, there was the idea that it would be a hotel resort, not a hotel, hotel convention type, maybe a little bit resorty, in its inception there. And that was kind of the whole idea. And I think SICAM was going in that direction. But then when your involvement is, I mean, you were talking about you had a Wyndham property, but it wasn't along what they were looking for. So did that kind of make you take a step back as far as pursuing it?
Well, in 2019, I actually... I had gone to the city, expressed our interest, and, I had been to a Wyndham conference. I had talked to some people at La Quinta, and I said, hey, look, if you're interested, I can see whether La Quinta would be interested in joining in this. And so I went over numbers with La Quinta. They understood that we had two properties here in town. I was very forthright with them what our ADRs and RevPARs were, which are key performance indicators within the industry and don't mean much to maybe outsiders, but... They gave me the indication that we were close, but maybe not quite there yet. And that was 2019 before prices had skyrocketed. So, and supplies were still in good supply. So,
but there's a difference between the Wyndham La Quinta and the I can't remember the name of the one that they're that Braun is.
Okay,
is,
so Braun's putting in a microtel. And you know, first of all, Jeff Bellotti at Wyndham does a great job. You know, he knows his business. One of the benefits for being a Wyndham owner is that that basically it costs less maybe to put in a Marriott than putting in a Marriott, and it costs less to run from the ownership side than maybe a Marriott or a Hilton or something like that. And I think, you know, the dues and the fees and stuff like that are a little bit less. So I can understand why Braun would want a Wyndham property in general. Yes, technically, Microtel is a, you know, it's a class below the La Quinta property, as a matter of fact. The Microtel Moda model is based upon downsizing the La Quinta model. Okay, so there's typically no pools or that type of thing, and a little bit less space maybe than a La Quinta. But I wasn't even sure at that time whether a La Quinta fit the vision that, that had been painted for me by several people in town. So,
give me an understanding of, obviously, you know, bringing in a, another hotel will at first probably diffuse some of the stays at other hotels in town and maybe kind of, you know, maybe drop room vacancies or increase room vacancies at some point for maybe a little while. What does it take to operate for a profit a hotel? What's, I mean, is there like a 70% occupancy, 80%? What does it take to make a hotel viable to begin with, let alone bringing in another 84 rooms?
Right. That's a great question, George, and it varies depending on the type of hotel that you have and what type of business you're catering to. We're Florence is not a destination place. I mean, our typical room nights stay is 1.2 nights per guest, right? So that means they're in town, maybe occasionally stay a second night, and then they're on their way to some other location. One of the things that I think was unique about the SICAN proposal, and it was more expensive, and they eventually decided it wasn't worth their time or energy, is that they were more of an extended stay suite type of thing. I'm not sure exactly what property they were going to go with, but they own some things like Hilton Suites and stuff like that, and those are typically longer stays. And so that's a different area of the market than what is typical for Florence, and so you're going to bring in a different type of traveler, and that has the ability maybe to increase travel overall. Right now, you're probably bringing a similar type property, one that feeds that 1.2 night stay, and you're basically robbing Peter to pay Paul. I mean, it's very unlikely that over the next 4 or 5 years after the development is complete with a similar type of hotel to what's already in town that the transient lodging taxes go up significantly.
So as a hotelier with properties here, I'm guessing you've done the studies on, you know, like I say, 1.2 nights per stay here.
Right.
You know, yet we think of, I mean, when you see it in the summertime, you see all the ATVs and everything. And obviously, they're probably what, a day's drive away? Is that what most of them are doing? They're staying in their campers and things like that? Because you would think that we would have some extended stay here. But
There's two major markets that come through Florence, all right? One is the overnight or weekend traffic that does come from Eugene, Springfield. That's why we're above one. All right. And then you have the other major thing, and it's really hard to market to, is that San Francisco to Seattle coast drive. Okay. And so those people are staying one night in every town along the way, and they're just looking for a location that fits their mileage, whether they have, you know, electric cars and a place to charge them and that type of thing. And so so those are the two major markets. We do get some Portland traffic. We do get some Seattle traffic. That ups the numbers. But yeah, that's, you know, that's a fairly good depiction of the type of traffic that we currently have in Florence.
So one of the criticisms you did have regarding the Braun development was that there's a certain amount of acreage required to put a hotel of that size and that caliber, which I think you in the city meeting, I'm trying to remember, was like 1.2 or 1.5. And the total acreage they're getting is like 3.2.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about why, how you felt that was maybe a little bit of too much for them to get for that? Or
well, it depends on the layout. It depends on the soil samples and things like that. My daughter is a geologist by education, and so after getting this ICANN report, I sent her, you know, some of the studies that were done, and she goes, "Dad, I'm not used to building on sand, but I'll run it by some people that I know." And she goes, "You know, tell you what, I can't tell you where your problems will come up in engineering on this." And so I don't know what Braun has done. I don't know what SICAN did, whether any of that came into play. But where you position a hotel and such will depend on where the costs go, right? If you have to move it back 5 feet to save, you know, a couple $100,000 in engineering costs and stuff like that, that's what you'll do. All right. And so
And is that why there's maybe a necessity to have a little bit more acreage in use?
So Super 8 is another Wyndham property, and their slogan is basically to those that want to own a Super 8, give us an acre and we'll build you a hotel. All right. So now their properties tend to be, you know, about half or 5/8 the size of the project going in. So, you know, to have something probably, I don't know that any more than two is necessary, but you're giving away 3.12 acres, and a lot of that's going to be parking, and a lot of that's going to be RV parking and spaces for, you know, for, I think they called them food truck business, right, in that meeting. And so, so there is a lot of parking space and maneuvering space that goes into that lot space. So, you know, I don't know whether it's the most efficient. Maybe it's the only efficient way to use that property. I just, you know, haven't been involved enough to know exactly what that takes.
Well, I just, and again, I don't know, and I don't know that you know, but I mean, you think, well, you got RV parking. I mean, are you talking overnight parking, or are you talking about people that will leave their RV, come to a hotel? I mean,
I have no idea my wife and I are looking at doing some overlanding travel, which would, you know, involve either what I call a zombie apocalypse vehicle or an outfitted Toyota Land Cruiser or something of that nature in the future. And we would stay, even though we would have the equipment to fully outfit ourselves in the wilderness for some time, we would occasionally stay in hotels. And I think
it's nice to get a nice hot shower.
Exactly. You relax, you know, and such. And I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen the exact design, so I don't know whether there were hookups or not in those RV spots, whether there was a dump station. That's, you know, but it does, to park an RV, it does take a little bit more space than to park a regular sized car.
So what, in your opinion or your experience, what would 84 more rooms do to the hotel business as a whole in Florence?
And again, George, that depends on what happens, right? You build an 84-room resort here in Florence, you're going to have destination traffic coming to that resort. It builds up a different type of clientele and
so
guest list.
So clientele that you wouldn't necessarily get.
That we wouldn't necessarily get, or there'd be people that want to come and, you know, and stay here and have the amenities that come with a resort type of place. You build an extended stay, maybe you get more business traffic. Right now, you know, if you build an 84-room or 86-room hotel right now, I think one of the things you got to ask yourselves is, do we have the infrastructure to support 86 more rooms of guests? If you walk down Bay Street, we already have restaurants that are closed a couple of nights a week because they can't find employees. I'm not saying that that's going to stay forever, but right now that's what it is.
It feels like it right now because they're all saying, hey, we can't get people, and the people they do get can't find a place to live.
And we have that same problem. And so, you know, you put another hotel on spot, where are you going to get enough entry level and, you know, lower level, you know, type of job opportunities and people to fill them? That's one thing. The other thing is that where, you know, how are the restaurants going to support that if they can't find the staff to do it? How are, you know, what happens to Old Town traffic, right? I mean, I know one of the things that has been talked about quite extensively is that, hey, look, you know, if we have a hotel right near the event center, that will increase event center traffic, right? And the jury is still out on that. I think that a certain type of facility will allow that to happen. But if you build something that doesn't have extra meeting space, really event center traffic doesn't really key up until you build more floor space. And so the city is making that, well, if we get a hotel, maybe that will allow us to get increased traffic that can build the event space. Maybe that will give us a chance to have a few more conventions in the summertime, which they can't really have right now because you know, it's not needed. We already have more than enough traffic in town. And even still, our hotels are not 100% full up during the summer. So I think, you know, the other impact comes is that, okay, where do you get those rooms from, right? I know that our occupancy rate is below 100% in the summertime. In the wintertime, it's way less than that. I mean, overall, we probably have between 50 and 60%. I know in the PsyCan study, they were projecting 68% occupancy, right? In the PsyCan study.
That's an annual percentage.
Annual, not just summertime, right? Annual percentage overall, which is probably 8 to 15%. Above what we see at our own hotels. And we've been rated tops on TripAdvisor, you know, 1, 2, 3, right in that range for years. As a matter of fact, the Old Town Inn, one of our properties, was rated the number 11 budget motel in the nation. So, you know, we have pretty good, guest services, and we do really well in what guests like. But But if you take a look at that, where are you going to get the traffic from? I think maybe there's that shiny new object thing that'll happen for a little bit, and then it depends on how well the hotel management company runs that place. If, you know, it doesn't matter how shiny the object is, if you don't keep your rooms clean, if you don't keep the service up, you know, really well and train that way, you know, that quickly wears off. All right. And then everybody's competing on price. You know, I think realistically, you're not likely to see any increase in TLTs for several, transient lodging tax. Okay. It's what the hotels collect from guests and then give to the state and the city and the county. All right. I mean, it's all kind of pushed together and then distributed again. But you know, the city does get a portion of those transient lodging taxes. And so I think that's one of the reasons why to have a hotel on that property is that they do collect on that. I think another reason why to have something on that property, at least, is that you increase the property value and therefore you increase property taxes, right? You know,
I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's like a multi-level scheme here. It's like we do this and then this benefits, we do this benefits.
Well, the city gets some benefits, and they should get some benefits by having businesses come to town or local businesses developed, right? I mean, you increase values and, you know, and everybody benefits, right? I'm just not sure that, you know, if we lose a hotel because a new one comes in, whether there's a benefit to that, right? You know, if we don't have the ability to support the hotel or the existing restaurant and travel infrastructure with employees, you know, do we do ourselves any favors at this point? I think I would have thought patience would have been more of a virtue rather than get this done in the middle of a pandemic, but we'll see.
Well, I think one of the things that Aaron Reynolds told me was that, you know, the patience has been, you know, decades them wanting to do something with this property.
Right.
And, you know, somebody just came along that said, okay. You know,
well, doesn't that tell part of the story then, George? Is that, you know, it's not like people haven't owned this property. The fear about it, I think Bill told us on the radio a couple of weeks ago for like under $500,000, right? And now they're giving it away, according to what Aaron said. And so, you know, based upon some of the things that have been talked about at the meetings and stuff like this, is that if that value of 600 or so thousand that they put on that property represents 4 to 5% of the project cost, we're talking a project that's north of 14, maybe closer to $17 million, which is a pretty huge expense. You know, I know Aaron said that, hey, look, Braun has already put a couple $100,000 into the development cost, and I don't know whether you know my history. I spent a lot of years in municipal finance. I was a bond underwriter for tax exempt securities, and so you know, I'm a little bit familiar how on the bond side cities raise money and do things. At the local government side, maybe not quite as in tune with that. But the key here is that you know you got to look at things like, okay, are we going to get increased property tax? Are we going to get increased TLTs? Does it really? And if we have the right property, we get what we already have and we don't lose anything with something new. And that's the thing, is do we have that right property that will actually increase all that revenue? We'll certainly get it in property tax evaluation. So somebody that puts something on there right now is going to be better than somebody like me who would have had to wait several years before developing it. So,
well, I mean, when you in a whole different area, when you think about property taxes, we've already got sky high, you know, home sales
right.
That are going to increase property taxes. So, I mean, yeah, we got all that going around.
Yep. Yeah.
Ron Moore, thank you so much for stopping in today and giving us a little bit different take on what's happening over there. And good luck to you at your property.
Well, thank you, George. I appreciate it. Again, you know, we hope that the city is successful in what they've decided to do. You know, we've expressed our concerns, but, you know, c'est la vie. Is that it's kind of, at this point, it's kind of moot. We'll see the process. We'll see if Ron can get financing. We have a lot of people in the hotel business here. I don't think any of them were invited to the table to discuss with the city, okay, what are the problems, what are the concerns and such like that. And that would have been really nice to have in the process.
Yeah, even if you weren't the end user of
right.
the property, it would still give them some insight. Added insight.
You know? Yeah, we could have provided all the numbers that they needed rather than somebody that's compiling a report. You got to understand, the report that was compiled for SICAN used one property in Florence, which was the Best Western. They have 55 rooms. Two properties I have is 81 rooms. I have, you know, I have 60% more, you know, quite a bit more rooms than they have, right? You know, so, but neither they nor I were invited to the table to say, hey, what are the concerns that we need to look at here?
And then again, too, when you look at a study, you have to look at the authorship of the study to determine the validity of it. Really, I'm not saying that theirs is invalid, but you know, if I want to get my point across, I'm going to use my study.
Right.
You know, versus using a more.
It's just like, hey, if somebody says I can get $166 a room here in Florence, is that realistic? I think Bill used the thing that Sycan determined they needed 260. That's probably not realistic for the Florence market, right? But our ADRs are under $100, right? And so not ADRs, our RevPARs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, day in and day out, you know, we're getting well less than $100 per room overall. Yeah. So, you know, it's just a matter of money at this point.
Ron, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, George. Appreciate it.
That's our August edition of Our Town. Tune in again next month when we'll talk to some more great local folks here on Coast Radio.